Why should you go to heaven? I've asked many people that question. The number one answer I get is this: I'm a good person. I remind them of what Jesus said. Jesus, who cannot lie, said these words in Mark 10:18, "No one is good except God alone." And based on that person's answer, now two are good in the universe: God and the person that answered that way. They start to see not only is that not the right answer, they start to see the futility of that answer. God the Father did not send his only son to suffer horrifically on the cross so that you can do your best to get to heaven. The cross means more than that. Jesus did not die to get you to church. Jesus died to get you to heaven. You have no way to get to heaven on your own. You and I need help. We need a miracle. We need a new covenant. The old covenant puts you in the driver's seat to do your best, and the old covenant revealed that even at your best, it can't get you to heaven. Hebrews 8 shows us the help and the miracle. It's the new covenant. Now, Jesus the Messiah has accepted a priestly ministry which far surpasses theirs, since he is the catalyst of a better covenant which contains far more wonderful promises. That's verse 6. What is the far more wonderful promises of the new covenant? What makes this so different? It's what God says next in the form of two words. What follows verse 6 reveals the heart of God and offers us great help and hope. Those two words: I will. 7 times in this chapter, God says, "I will." The new covenant is all on God. Where the old covenant was man trying to do better, the new covenant is God saying, "You can't, but I will." We live in a culture that embraces the I will be better, I will get this right, I will be a success, I will be rich, and even I will get to heaven. If you answer the question, how do I get to heaven, with something you do, then the I of the I will is you. You can't be the I. The I is the Son of God. It's what he has done for you in the new covenant. Martin Luther so powerfully reminds us of this when he said, "What makes you think that God is more pleased with your good deeds than he is with his blessed Son?" What follows the statement of far more wonderful promises is this, all quoted from the New International Version. Here it is. Verse 8, "I will make a new covenant." Verse 10, "This is the covenant I will establish." Verse 10 again, "I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God." Verse 12, "I will forgive their wickedness." And verse 12 again, "I will remember their sins no more." The new covenant is what God does for you, not what you do for God. Another word for you being the I is legalism. You're working to make God like you and bring you to heaven. Legalism eliminates God's involvement in your life and puts it all on you. Legalism says that God really loves you if you can change. As Tullian Chavidian said, the ironic thing about legalism is that it not only doesn't make people work harder, it makes them give up. That is when God says, "I have a better covenant for you." In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis said something that reminds me of the greatness of God's I will. Digest these powerful words from Lewis. Christ offers something for nothing. He even offers everything for nothing. In a sense, the whole Christian life consists in accepting that very remarkable offer. But the difficulty is to reach the point of recognizing that all we have done and can do is nothing. That's the new covenant.